Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Okay, so this other thing, I have added a bunch of notes. If I can find the page here, it's Guru Theories. And, you know, I mentioned a number of people there, and I even have a list of people that you know, that had all these solutions. But, you know, the major thing up there in the right-hand corner is let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. So that's in Matthew 15:14. And which we'll do next time. So this could be a kind of a prelude to that. But there's a lot of blind people out there telling people what's what and what to do and how to do it, and they really shouldn't be doing it. But they're going to be doing it, and we have to let them do it. But we can be outspoken. And if you have a congregation full of people that are allowed to speak their minds without dividing the congregation, and people say, well, he said something I didn't like, so I'm not going to meet it with him anymore. No, if you do that, you will only be meeting with people that will only tell you what you want to hear. And you do not want to do that. You want to allow other people to have their opinions. And you go home and you think about it and you come back with a better answer. And that's absolutely essential in order to build the kind of relationships that you're going to need in order to have these viable congregations. So I have lots of headings like the Crown Templar. That's one of these things. And some of these things these people espouse are true. But it's what they leave out, or how they mix and match, and how they take arguments too far, and how they think, well, because I did this, this has happened. And yet, it doesn't pan out. But are they willing to have the conversation? I'm willing to have the conversation. But land patents, and I've told lots of stories on that. There must be 4 hours, 5 hours of recordings on that page. Yeah, there's quite a few hours. And then with Kevin Craig, I have some discussions with him. 1 hour there, 2 hour Kevin Craig, 30 minutes with Kevin Craig. The Beloved Anarchist, I got 30 minutes on that. So there's lots of different deals there. So anyway, the Crown Templars and Barr, Larry Beecraft, I knew Larry. And he was right about a lot of things, but he's not right about everything. I'm sure I'm not right about everything, but I'm willing to have that, like I say, the conversation. But you can't hopscotch through rational thinking. Everything has to fit. And if you're seeking the ways of God, they have to fit with the ways of God. Ben Williams, yeah, he's been here. And, of course, Paul Revere and the Embassy of Heaven Church. That's what these guys are doing. So, anyway, I looked at the video, and, you know, so I changed this one heading here, the hyphenated person, and that talks about James Anthony Robert. And people started doing this, you change your name, and then you're free. And while I may sympathize with these people's effort, that is not the answer. Absolutely cannot be the answer. Moses said, people free. Jesus set people free. I had never known a hyphen that set a man free yet. So these are, but there's some logic behind what they say. You know, there is the law of the names, and legal notice is important. That's one of the things that was kind of pointed out in the C2K people, is that once they get all their paperwork together, they just put it away in their house, and they don't have to serve this notice to anybody, supposedly. Well, And yet they're equating what they're doing with the Declaration of Independence, this, you know, testimony. I'm not going to get all their vocabulary right. But the Declaration of Independence was entirely to put the world on notice. It is right that you put them on notice. You know, I mean, even in India, if you're a single woman, you had to put one mark on your forehead. If you're a married woman, you had to put another. You have to wear a wedding ring in a lot of cultures so that they know, you know, I can't mess with this woman because she's married. But you're saying, no, we can have a secret marriage. We're married to Christ, but we're not going to tell anybody. We're not going to show anybody. No. And also, we'll get right into it. I don't have enough time to go into it in great detail, but it's there on the page. It's the Guru Theories page. So I switched it around, but I pointed out clearly that what we've done is that we have become merchandise because, not because of birth registration, although birth registration is part of that evidence, and we show you that birth registration was around at the time of Augustus Caesar. It certainly was around at the time of Marcus Aurelius. It was compulsory, and his human rights records of persecuting Christians was because he made it a law that you had to register your newborn child within 30 days. And you had to register with a registrar of government. Because that child was literally going to become collateral for the debt of Rome. Now, they weren't in as bad a shape as you are today. You're way farther down the road. It's going to be far worse for you than it was when Rome collapsed. But that we explain in the on the article and in the pamphlet in the chapter of Call No Man Father, you know, that you're making the state your father, which is diminishing your natural father and the place that he plays in the family, which is why the black community is falling all apart, and they targeted to take the fathers out of the homes. They bribed the mothers to remove the fathers because, you know, your husband, he said something you didn't like. And so you weren't going to put up with him anymore. And you could do that because the government will take his place. You know, this is why people aren't married. This is why people don't stay with their husbands or don't stay with their wives. It's because their spouse says something they don't like. So I'm not going to have anything to do with them anymore because they said something I don't like. You don't have that option in real life. You have to forgive and you have to work it out. And hopefully you get stronger. It's the same way with congregations. That you have to come together and work it out. Have the conversation. So this guy doesn't like what you say. Is he going to abandon everybody? No, he's not going to do it. I mean, Jesus clearly thought Peter was saying things that he didn't like. Did he abandon Peter? He knew that Peter was going to denounce him. He says, before the cock crows three times, you're going to denounce me. So I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. No, he didn't say that. He said, I'm going to pray for you. So if somebody in your congregation says something you don't like, or he's espousing an idea you disagree with, disagree with it. You know, you can take your time, maybe. Depends on what it is. And you can go contemplate it. And what you want to do is bring it to light with love and patience. You don't want to abandon and say, oh, I want a congregation that only says what I like to hear. Can't do that. So anyway, in the section down here where it talks about the good faith notice of demand, someone on the network commented, though this notice covers all of the points of truth that we are to live by, I see no application for enforcement. Which is kind of a strange thing, enforcement. Who's the enforcer? Who enforced the agreement between Moses and the Pharaoh? Who enforced that? And ultimately, of course, our enforcer is the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. That's going to be our comforter. If you keep turning up the Holy Spirit in your own life by forgiving and giving and loving one another, the Holy Spirit will be in your congregation, and those people who don't love the light, they will leave. I've seen guys come and go, and I'm thinking, like, how can that guy stick around? He is so much a low life. And I just pray, God, turn up the light in me. And eventually they turn around, they're gone. That's what you want. So while it may appear in many, if not all, countries that ministers of the ecclesia or early church established by Jesus the Christ can leave the system of the world if they conform to Christ's directives for a free church, and we have the Free Church Report to show you how that works, which is free online, and come into one accord, because that they have to do that. They have to conform to Christ and come into one accord. That's not as easy as it is to say, as to do. As he commanded, it is essential that they are born again. And of course, I have an article there, because a lot of people think they're born again and they're not. And all you have to do is read a couple more verses and you can say, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not born again, because I'm still doing unrighteousness. Well, you may even think, well, I'm doing righteousness. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But then along come me and say, you know, covetous practices are not righteous. Praying to men who exercise authority to please take a bite out of my neighbor and curse my neighbor's children with debt so that I can have free stuff today. How many guys on the C2K thing are collecting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid? Now, I'm not saying you can't do that, but you can't be a minister of God, an ordained minister of God, and be collecting those things. Because you're not of the world. You don't have access. You can't be numbered by the righteous mammon and the unrighteous mammon at the same time. You can't be doing that. So you have to give up all you hath, including all your right to the benefits of the world, in order to be an ordained minister of Christ. That's very clear. The apostles were unregistered, idiotes. We have articles that explain that. But if you want to accept a simple answer, I mean, the C2K guys got kind of a simple, you know, all you have to do is this. So, you know, we've written about Jesus said, call no man father. And we explain what the father is and what the conscripted fathers are. And, of course, how you manumit yourself from your natural father and turn the welfare state into your conscripted fathers, your civil fathers. And I have links there on that page that take you to articles that explain this in great detail. And you don't have to sign in to get it. It's right there. It's right there in the open. And there, and how they use birth registration, both Augustus Caesar and Marcus Aurelius, and the laws that they passed in order to use that birth registration in order to subjugate the people. Now, it's not, and of course, there's three parts to that subjugation. Birth registration alone doesn't do it. And you don't have to get your birth certificate back in order to stop it. Any more than, you know, that Moses was telling all the Israelites in Egypt, well, first you need to get a hold of a copy of your birth certificate in Pharaoh's archives, because he had archives. you have to in order to run these big giant welfare systems. But no, that isn't what you had to do is start learning to love one another, sacrifice for one another, help one another during hard times. And of course, that's what Jesus is telling with the loaves and fishes. But if you make up stuff that isn't actually in the text, you may not think clearly about what was really the miracle of the loaves and fishes. These men were those benefactors who exercised authority one over the other to provide for the dainties of the rulers who exercised authority, the ones that make the masses of the people merchandise. Through what Proverbs, Psalms, and the prophets say is a snare and a trap. David said it, Paul said it. What should have been for your welfare is a snare and a trap. That's why they didn't eat the free bread of Rome. If you think you just changed your birth certificate, but you're still eating the free bread of Rome, that's what brought you in. And now they bring up a number of things when they're talking, and I've put notes in here. And if I misquote them or something, I'd be glad to have the conversation. Someone asked me to review that C2K report battle pass authentication on Rumble. I didn't put the link in here because I don't want to promote them until they get things sorted out, because I don't want people going astray. Anyway, I've heard this, like I said, I've heard this approach before, and they may be very sincere, but it's not the answer. They seem to be saying that you need to, you know, go get a copy of your birth certificate and then order an authentication of your certified birth record from the state for use in another country. And this is the old, you know, I mean, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Glenn Stoles was doing this same thing. And, of course, he had an actual church structure, and he set it up under a corporation soul, which I disagree with. I have articles up that explain that that isn't the solution. And, you know, I knew all about, you know, Hague Treaty countries and non-Hague Treaty countries. Knew all about that decades ago. But it doesn't deal with what Christ said. Now, of course, these guys think they're doing what Christ said. That Christ has done everything for them and they're already children of God. But Christ said there's going to be a lot of people that think that I'm a child of God and that I'm going to have to tell them, no, you're not. I don't even know you. And you're a worker of iniquity. And I'm pretty sure the argument that, wait a minute, I got a certified copy of my birth certificate with an apostille on it. So I must be a Christian. No, no. But I said I believe, I said, Lord, Lord, that I believe in Jesus Christ and I accept him in my heart as a personal Savior. So I must be the brethren of Christ. But you're not doing the will of Christ. You're not doing the will of the Father. And we can show you that. If you're still engaged in covetous practices, you have need of repentance. And then they want you to fill out, and this is why I thought it was funny, because as soon as I saw this, I said, a 4194? And I, you know, I thought, you know, I haven't fiddled with people in this apostille and certified birth certificate. Now, I don't care if you do that stuff, but it doesn't bring you into the kingdom of God, and it doesn't create an ecclesiastical trust, because you don't have what Christ was setting up yet. I don't see it anywhere in their documentation. We show you what that looks like. And you can join the network and we'll show you a lot more. I mean it's all out there, but I mean, we'll actually have people guiding you through it so you can understand it. But, you know, I saw right away this 4194, which is, you know, you're going to make your own statement of authority and belief. Even Christ, when he was asked, are you a king? He didn't say he was. He says, thou sayest that I'm a king. And he says, that for this cause I come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. But also we know that he came into the world so that the whole world might be saved. Are you filling out your statement of authority and belief so that the whole world might be saved, or just so that you can pretend that you're out of the system of Babylon while you still take the benefits of Babylon? Not going to work. Not going to work, you know. And, of course, now they may get into the thing, well, you know, we won't take the mark of the beast. Well, I don't know that you don't have it already. But anyway, and we can explain all that in detail. I don't want to pick on them or anything. But the answer is repentance. And we have to think differently than we've been thinking. And we show you. Now, I'm throwing out stuff pretty quick here. And somebody can say, well, wait a minute, I never heard that. Well, okay, that's why we have all kinds of articles to explain it in detail. And if you want to seek the kingdom, you have to be, you have to study to show yourself approved. Except for, you know, those who listen regularly know that I know and you know that the word study to show thyself approved in that particular quote is not the word study. It's the word be diligent. Which occasionally may include a little bit of study, a little bit of reading, a little bit of looking into the details of what it means to be in the kingdom and seeking the kingdom and following the ways of Christ and following Christ and following what it says in Matthew 6:33, that you're seeking the kingdom of God. If you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, before you even seek the birth certificate, but then you got to know, what does that look like? The kingdom of God is this system that giveth life. Because Christ is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Which brings me to my first heads up here, the DS-4194. Years ago, when I found the Insurance Portability Act of, was it 1989? Is that it? I have to go back and look. Which eventually codified in the U.S. codes under Title 42 as Section 666. that required a social security number in order to get anything from the government, any registration from the government. You had to show them your social security number. Supposedly, you have to do it to even get a marriage license or anything. They don't always do it because they don't even keep their own rules. But it's on the books. You're supposed to show it in order to get a passport. Some people have gotten a passport without it. And I said, well, I got my passport and I never had to show them the number because I did this. I jumped through this hoop and that hoop. But do you know, can I show you in the statute, that if you have a passport issued from the United States government, you have waived a right to your labor and you can be enlisted in civilian work projects without pay for an indefinite period of time, even if you don't have a Social Security number. Of course, now if you have a Social Security number, you're already enlisted and you already work. You know, like my dad, when I asked him who he worked for, he said, until July 1st, I worked for the government. After that, I worked for myself, because he was in a 50% income tax bracket. And he knew that I'm not only in the bondage of Egypt, but I have to pay 50% of my wages to Pharaoh. Not 20%, 50%. And it actually is more than that for almost everybody. You know, if you're paying 20%, you're also paying gasoline tax and property tax and sales tax and all these other taxes. It's far worse for you today than it was for the people that were in the bondage of Egypt, but you are in the bondage of Egypt. So anyway, when I was looking up that 511, 512, 513, I saw it. I was reading every single bill that was put in front of Congress. That's a lot of reading. One year I did this. I didn't do it all the time. I was led to do it. And then I saw, you know, as people with dyslexia on the spectrum, like I can say, whatever the spectrum is, I saw patterns in the numbers. And eventually I said, well, where are they getting these numbers for the codification of the laws? Well, why are they using this number here and that number there? And you can look up the rules and find out. And this is, well, there's something going on. Somebody's doing something else here. Somebody is playing something else here. And I found out that they're using Strong's numbers for the names of some of these forms. And there's a certain pattern, so you know, I mean, it's not every form is based on a Strong's number, but because the numbers are jumping all over the place, and I think, like, were there's other numbers here, and then those have been canceled? No, they're just picking these numbers out of the blue. And so when I saw that number, I said, I know that number, so I looked up that number. 4194, that's the name for Pontius Pilate. Pontius is 4194. In the Greek text. And it's more than that. So it's clearly in the Latin, Pontius means of the sea. So you're asking for a form that's numbered Pontius and means of the sea. You're going to fill that out. So are you in the law of the sea? That's just a strike. Now, none of this means any power to me. I don't believe by the numbers. That's the game that they play. I'm just showing you that they know about that form. They've known about it for decades and decades. They picked the number for that form. It's fine with them and the devil that you fill out that form. Because you're not going to end up down on the shores of the Red Sea with God between you. Now, you could, but you're going to have to learn the whole gospel and not just this limited gospel of, yeah, I believe, so I'm saved. That I feel born again, so I am born again. Because it tells you right there, that when it talks about being born again, that if you're still doing certain things, you're not born again. And we fill in all those things, those criteria that Christ was pointing to, James was pointing to, Paul was pointing to. They said, well, the old law was done away with. No, the old law of the Pharisees was done away with. And Christians didn't have to keep the law of the Pharisees anymore. Jewish Christians didn't have to keep the law of the Pharisees. Of course, the Roman Christians didn't have to keep the law of the Pharisees anyway. But if they were a part of the Temple of Roma, or part of the Temple of Jupiter, because there was freedom of religion at this particular time in Christianity. And Pontius Pilate had said, Jesus Christ is king. And Paul even took this to Agrippa and Festus, that they were a legitimate religion. So just like you could be a Roman and be a part of the Temple of Roma that was set up by Herod, you could be a Roman and be a part of the Judaic temple, or you could be a Jew and a part of the Parthenos, or the Temple of Jupiter, or the Temple of Ephesus. All of those temples were welfare systems that took care of the needy of society. They were like social welfare insurance. Some of them, like Ephesus, was not only social welfare system for the people at Ephesus, it was a social welfare system for 127 different countries in a treaty much like the Hague. maybe more than like the Hague, because they were the underwriters for the social welfare systems of all these other countries. And so, anyway, once you understand that, then you start seeing what the conflict between, you know, the Christian conflict. So anyway, but if you're gonna put blinders on, and you're gonna keep following the blind, you don't see the whole gospel. It's right there. It's right in front of you. If you're not gonna see it, that the early Christians were taking care of all the social welfare for Christians, all of it. They were doing it through faith, hope, and charity. Rome and the Temple of Jupiter were using force, fear, and fealty. Herod had instituted that with his system of Corban with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Peter and some of the other apostles were idiotas. They were unregistered. They weren't unlearned. They were unregistered. You go look up, were Christians idiots? Go look that article up at Preparing You. We explain what those words, we show you, we're using your concordances. Anyway, but in the Hebrew, I looked it up in the Hebrew, 4194, and you get a word there, as a noun, it's mem vav tav. Well, everybody knows mem vav tav means death, dying, death, personified death, mem vav tav. That's what the 4194 means. It means death. And they were filling out the death form, 4194. Because you're filling out their form. You're appealing to their system to get this birth registration back. Why? So you can pretend that you own it. So now there's nothing between you and evil but your claim to own their birth certificate. Now, you think Christ is in between you and them. And it could be, but it might not be. And, of course, we show you where it might not be, because that same 4194, you know, can also be a verb spelled exactly the same way, but they give it a different strong number. They give it 4191. But it means to die, to be killed, to be executed. And you filled out the form. To die, to be killed, to be executed. Now, if you were really using apostille the way people like Glenn Stoles used it and everything, you have to stop taking benefits. Now, he fudged on that because he was still allowing people to create this corporation soul by getting an EIN. And then when they got the EIN, then they could get a bank account open. And that was a fiasco. I probably have some old programs on that. I love Glenn. And he's a remarkable individual. But he was wrong. What he was creating with those corporation souls was not the church established by Christ. And he needed to do things quite a bit different. But he didn't. So anyway, some of the other errors, he said, there is no promise of lawful money in the Constitution of the United States. And I have a link there, so you can go look it up and you show me where that is, because I couldn't find it. There is a statement that they can accept, you know, gold and silver as payment for debt. Well, it didn't say you couldn't have notes. You can have notes. You just can't pay a debt with note at common law. A portion of the debt remains. And they didn't create the notes. They allowed the Federal Reserve to be created, and they created the notes. And we have articles up on the Federal Reserve, so you can go look at how the Federal Reserve works. And I don't even put it all up there. But I can tell you this, Leviticus 19:36 says, just balances, just weights, just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. When you started putting notes in your wallet instead of a just weight and measures, you abandoned just weights and measures. You abandoned the command of the king, of God. Proverbs 16:1, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bags are his work. Federal Reserve notes are not his work. So when you started using them, you were abandoning the way. Of course, you were already, you didn't see it. Some people did see it. Some people spoke out. Some people warned that this will create the largest trust in the history of the world. And of course, that trust is mammon. And that mammon is the unrighteous mammon. Now, they're talking about an ecclesiastical trust, but it's not the righteous mammon. Now, I don't know what their entire motivation is. I'm all for them putting their money in their pocket. But then you have to consider, is it your money? I mean, can you even, if you're a citizen of the United States, can you even own gold and silver? Now, when they went bankrupt, how come they went bankrupt? Well, you were doing all kinds of things that were against the ways of Christ. You're giving the government the power to borrow money in your name. Now, they couldn't make you collateral yet, but since you were buying your land with notes, you were discharging the debt, but you weren't paying the debt. Because you can't pay a debt with a note. Stanek versus White. I mean, it's been ruled for over a century. So when you bought your land with notes, you don't get a lawful title because you didn't use lawful money. You get a legal title. A legal title is not an actual title. You don't own it. And you go look up legal title at Preparing You. We explain it. We show you the law. We show you the definition of legal title. It does not include the ownership of the property itself. So that you've been going wrong for over a century. It didn't start with Social Security, which is 1933, June 5th, 1933. It started before that. I mean, you can go back to 1913 with the Federal Reserve. You can go back to the 14th Amendment, where you allowed corporations to become persons. I mean, that you're on your way to destruction. Corporations are the golem. We have, go look up person. At Preparing You. We explain that. I'm not finished with that, but I've got enough of it there to shake your tree a little bit. And I can see I can put more links in here. But anyway, so what happened to your gold and silver? Ezekiel 7:19. They shall cast their silver in the streets. That's in the cities. The cities that they create for themselves. The cities of blood they create for themselves. Look up cities of blood. And their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of wrath. I should put a link there. Because most people, the day of wrath is the day of consequences. There's consequences. When you started going to public schools more than private schools, and you started funding those public schools more and more and more with tax dollars, you're entering into covetous practices. Public schools is against the ways of God. It's I'm going to tax my neighbor's land or take it away from them so that I can have free education. You've abandoned the ways of God when you do that. That's contrary to the teachings of Moses, contrary to the teachings of all the prophets, contrary to the teachings of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ and the apostles. You're not to be coveting your neighbor's goods. You're not to be forcing your neighbor to pay for your free education or the free education of your kids. You should be creating private schools. And then you would have control. I can guarantee you that they wouldn't be paying money to tweakers to come in and dance for your kids. And those people who want to do that and think that's great, they got to pay for it themselves. But see, you've all gone the way the Proverbs told you not to consent to. The way of the one purse. See, you're all tied together. And now if 51% of the people want tweakers tweaking for your kids, they get to do it. You see, because you already decided that it's okay to force your neighbor to contribute to what you want. Now you got more neighbors who want to do what you don't want, and you're upset. Or your neighbor's just apathetic, doesn't care. I mean, you guys have been robbing widows and orphans for decades in order to have your free schools, free education. And your churches don't take care of your social welfare. They don't rightly divide the bread from house to house. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, welfare, food stamps, they divide the bread from house to house. But they're all from the temple, run by the men who exercise authority, one over the other. That isn't Christ's way. The only way you could think that that's okay is that you still live and dwell in darkness. You're still the blind following the blind. There's no way on earth that that's okay. Now, I'm not condemning the people who are doing it. I pray for them every day. I spend hours and hours trying to put this so that you can understand it. And I show you the alternative of how the early church was an ecclesiastic trust. And how what you own belonged to you, except what you chose to give to the ministers of the church. But the ministers of the church, just like it was in the days of the Levites, just like it was in the days of Christ, they have to belong to God. They can't be in the unrighteous mammon. Now, you can be an unrighteous mammon, but you have to be turning around your thinking and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And we'll give you lots of opportunities to see if you're really willing to lay down your life for your fellow man. Or if you just want to be in a congregation of mutual back scratchers that are going to say what you want to hear. I can't provide for that. I'm not going to say what you want to hear. I'm going to say what God puts on my heart. And if it's wrong, you can tell me about it. I'll listen. I'm not afraid to hear your points, and that's why I've got that I go down through this. You know, they say certain things. The fact is, you're back in the bondage of Egypt, and you can't get out by filling out paperwork. You get out because God's going to set you free when you actually start hearing the cries of your neighbor. And you start forming a system of social welfare that is based on charity and love alone. And that's going to require sacrifice on your part. Okay, 5580, I got your mic live.
Yeah, this is Stephen from Colorado.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just curious, not that I'm too worried about it, but when you were talking about the passport and how when you sign that, you're in a binding contract and how you have to serve as a civilian employee or something like that. Is that passport contract, is that something that is binding till it expires, or is there some other ways that you can actually, dismiss it?
Well, I don't know that you can dismiss it. If you go to our passport page at Preparing You, we quote you the actual law and the terms to some degree. There's probably more terms, but they would be administrative terms. The point is that a lot of people think that they're completely out of the system because they didn't use their Social Security number to get a passport. And the only reason we publish what they actually say concerning, because you're supposed to take the oath, The only reason that we put it up there is just to let people know that these schemes that people have where you don't use your Social Security number are not going to get you out of the system. They're not going to protect you. Ultimately, it doesn't matter whether you're a Roman centurion or you work for the corrupt Sanhedrin. There were guys in the Sanhedrin who were probably saved. But they had their moment of truth where they, because God will put people all over the place. He'll put you in a hospital. He'll put you in, the road department. He'll put you in the government. And a lot of people want to just, I want to get out of all that stuff and I'm just going to get out of it. No. What you want to do is get into the place where you know what the Holy Spirit wants you personally to do. So I know for a fact in my heart and in my mind that God keeps some people from understanding everything that I'm saying, because God knows their heart better than I do, so that they're in the system. But there will come a time when they serve God in that system. Because I've said from the beginning, always from the beginning, that everybody's going to be free when the unrighteous mammon fails. Christ said this. But not everybody is going to be suitable for more righteous habitations. Because in a lot of cases, they were just a bunch of tax cheats. They just wanted out of the system. They didn't want to pay taxes. They hated paying taxes. They were angry at the system, and they just wanted out of the system. They got to get over that. They got to forgive the system. They got to turn around their hearts and start following the Holy Spirit. So exactly how far it extends, I don't know. But, you know, ultimately, they break all their rules. And, you know, when the Pharisees said they had no king but Caesar, and then they were destroyed by Caesar, that's not an accident. That they set themselves up, but they were blind to what they were doing. They had Jesus Christ right in front of them, and they, when they heard him and saw him fulfilling miracles and healing people right on the spot, their first thought is, now, how can we kill him? Because they hated the light. They didn't love the light. And like I said earlier in the show, we can love the light, but the closer we get to the light, the more we see in our own selves. And we will all meet certain places that are very hard to get over. But that's part of the journey. And God will provide you a way over that way. And, you know, I was trying to think of a story. There was a story where like God plucks the guy out. You know, he says, no, this guy is mine. Well, actually, Moses. Moses dies and Satan comes to get him. And he says, no, you can't have him. It wasn't because he was without sin. And I don't understand exactly how that context works. I don't want to create all kinds of ideology with it. But he knew Moses' heart. And hopefully God knows your heart. And the question is, do you know your heart? Do you know all the things that have gotten inside you? Every one of us have had trauma. Every one of us have somebody that we need to forgive. Every one of us have something we need to sacrifice so that we will see more light. And it's going to be a constant struggle. But like I said, you can go to the page on passports at preparingyou.com, and you know, we quote the actual law. You might have to look in the footnotes, but I think it's all there. But how far it extends, they'll probably fudge. You know, like your Social Security in the United States, if you give up your citizenship and your Social Security number, you have to go to another country, another jurisdiction in order to do that legally, according to their rules. And of course, you know, when Moses freed the Israelites, he did it according to the rules of Pharaoh. He didn't make up new rules. He knew the law in Egypt. Pharaoh, and so, you know, the reason God was able to destroy or create a situation where the Pharaoh and his army destroyed themselves, because the Pharaoh made an agreement. The reason the Pharisees were destroyed, because they said they had no king but Caesar. and then they disobeyed Caesar. So we want to be friends with the unrighteous mammon, but we also, you know, how that looks in everybody's individual life, that's between them and God. I can't tell you how that's going to look. God may want you to have a passport, and then when it's time, you know, it's kind of like, so God is in control. The critical thing is that we need to learn to move from the Holy Spirit and not from our preconceived notions of how we think things ought to be. And one of the ways to get to that place is not impose, which seems to be the theme of this program, not impose way that we think things ought to be on other people. You can come into a congregation and be, you know, a senator or a congressman or, you know, a brain surgeon or you work for a pharmaceutical company. But we let God and His light sort them out. So, yeah, you could, like I said, you can look that up. But does that kind of answer the question for you?
Yeah, that was good. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Okay, somebody asked, Gregory, since you brought up passports, what's your thoughts on the national status from citizens on your passport? Okay, well, that's a whole, thanks for the question. That's Sarah. We have people that are dealing with that issue right now. And some of their family want them to do that, and they cannot bring themselves to do it because they don't trust all the stuff that they're talking about. Most of the cases that I've seen, you have to misrepresent something in the documentation in order to make that work. Now, maybe some people have found workarounds on that, but if you have a passport, the rules on passports apply to that. And I'm not saying don't get the passport. Maybe if God wants you to get the passport, get the passport. Don't get it because you want it. Don't get it because you think you ought to have it or that you want to go to Guadalajara or whatever. But don't keep yourself from getting it like I'm making some kind of rule up. Seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness may, like I say, put you in all kinds of places. So I kind of addressed this in talking to Colorado there. But I hope that's enough. You can put another, add to that question. But I don't think that you really, I'm not against people getting that national status citizen, but do not sign anything that isn't 100% true. It's got to be true. There's no finger crossing. And I kind of see that in the C2K people. You know, they say they want this because they're going to use it for a country like Taiwan. They want this, but they're not. Their motivation is different than what they're representing. And then when they get all this paperwork, then they supposedly just keep it in their house. And that's totally contrary to what the Declaration of Independence is. You know, I'm right up front, out in the open, with almost everything. But there's some things, even Christ said it this morning when we were doing our study this morning, it is given to some people to know some things, but not given to others. So, but I'm just not supposed to give everything to everybody. So yeah, everything is out there. But until everybody's read everything that's out there, don't expect me to pull any of the things that are secretly away. Not that your question, Sarah, is anything like that. But yeah, I'm familiar with the national status stuff. And ultimately, I want everybody to do what the Holy Spirit is guiding them to do. But there is, the solution is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness with your whole heart, mind, and soul. Whatever sacrifices God calls on you to do, you need to do it. You need to do it willingly. But that's between you and God, because that's ultimately, everybody has to be plugged into that Holy Spirit. And I tell you that Holy Spirit's a lot more powerful than the emotions that a lot of people are mistaking for the Holy Spirit. But anyway, as I was saying, this massive system of unrighteous mammon, which now engulfs the whole world because all the countries are linked by treaties, all the Social Security numbers and Seshalas and all these different numbers are linked by treaties all over the world. everybody's not in it. You can go to some countries, 10, 20, 30% of the people in some countries have no numbers. Just amazing. Doesn't mean that they're in the kingdom. And just because you have the number doesn't mean that you can't be getting into the kingdom. How you get into the kingdom is that you follow the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will eventually get you down on the shores of the Red Sea with the armies of the world and the New World Order coming down on you with everything they got, but God stepping in between you and them. Now, that may be on an individual basis. Maybe we'll all be in one place. I doubt we'll all be in one place, but you know, time and space means nothing to God. So the critical thing is that we have to actually be listening to the Holy Spirit. So if he's awakening you to some of these things, you need to be acting upon some of these things. Okay, also, like I said, one of the things that they didn't seem to realize is that they are in the system of the bondage of Egypt. And just because you didn't understand it doesn't mean that you aren't, because you took the benefit. I mean, who took care of your parents? Who educated you? Who educated your children? Did you send your kids to public school? Because they all are operating on debt. Because the government's operating on debt. It's been operating on debt before 1933. It was operating on debt, and it's never been different. There is no solvent Social Security. Some of them might be thinking that. I know you've all heard that. Proverbs 17:18, a man void of understanding striketh hands and becometh a surety in the presence of his friend. If we wanted to understand, then we can seek the truth. But the fact that you didn't understand doesn't mean you're not a surety for debt. Proverbs 20:16 and Proverbs 27:13 are repeating the same thing. Take his garment that is surety, that's his covering, for a stranger, and take a pledge for him for a strange woman. The strange woman is the strange fire. It's the harlot. It's the system of social welfare through men who exercise authority, because the harlot rides the beast. The Roman Church does not provide social welfare for all Catholics. I would estimate that less than 10% of the social welfare for Catholics is provided by the Church. So there you have it. So the truth is that the people have become assets of the unrighteous mammon. They are surety for debt. They are back in the bondage of Egypt. And they are employed, I could put another link there. They are employed by the modern Pharaoh and Nimrod back in Babylon, literally in a city of blood. We need to admit the truth of that and then follow the instructions of Christ to find our way out. Luke 16:11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So, yeah, a lot of the people want to get out of the system, and they somehow or other think that that's going to protect them. No, you're in the system, be righteous with it, and you'll be more suitable for righteous habitation. Now, they were still paying their tally of bricks, but they were seeking the kingdom of God according to the instructions of Moses. And they, in order to do that, they had to help one another out. They had to be organized before and during the plagues in order to get through the plagues. And they received extra protection because they were doing that. Why did they go into bondage? Because they wouldn't hear the cries of their brother. How do you get God to intervene while you're in bondage? You start listening to the cries of your brother and acting upon them. You have to go back the same way that you got there. So this is the whole reason why you sit down in the tens, hundreds, and thousands. And you're going to hear from your brother, and he's going to say things that you don't like. But either you're going to stick with him to hear him again, and you get to tell him, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. But you got to be there. Because you're not there for what he can do for you. You're there for what you can do for him. And maybe it's to listen to his bad ideas and tell him, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. And maybe you're right. Maybe it isn't a good idea. But maybe you're wrong. But you have to have the conversation. Because that's how your conversation gets to be the conversation in the kingdom of God. Mark 12:31. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And of course, the first one was to love God. But then in John 15:13, he says, greater love that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's why we gather, to do that for others. Proverbs 11:15. He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it. That's what they're feeling. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. But people wanted the benefits. Or they were the blind following the blind. If they were blind, there's probably a reason. So anyway, I repeat again, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And in Luke 14:27, and whoever doth not bear his cross, and your cross is now that you're in the bondage of Egypt, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? So we're facing that, if we can do things. And, you know, you have to take these things in context. This is the journey to the kingdom is one day at a time. It's one individual. I could tell you the dreams I had when I first started this, and bizarre dreams, which I didn't have many of, but it's showing that I have to depend upon that which is unseen. And it's always come through for me. But it doesn't mean that it isn't always bringing a greater and greater challenge. And it's going to do the same for you. We all have different crosses to bear. We all have different responsibilities. We have are we taking care of our family? Are we taking care of people in another congregation that is not even our family? I was always amazed there were people wanted to start a congregation only with their family members. And it usually ends up that they can't get along entirely with all their family members either. But no, that isn't the way it worked. You know, we have to be willing to, and we are so diverse in the sense that we come from so many different religions and different backgrounds, and people are going to, you know, somebody's going to see one part of the kingdom and somebody else is not going to see it, but that other person who doesn't see what you see, he may see things you don't see. But it's in that conversation that both of our eyes may be open. You know, and so that's what we have to do. So Psalms 119, I'll jump all the way down here. Oh, well, you know, maybe we'll do Proverbs 11:4. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, in the day of consequence, because that's really what the wrath means. But righteousness deliver us from death. And so that goes back to Sarah and the question from Colorado is that it's how we do the righteousness that God puts in front of us. How we deal with the people right in front of us. With our wives, with our husband, with our children, with our neighbors, with our strangers that we come across. And God will put challenging people in our way all the time. But you have to constantly be consulting that Holy Spirit as to how to deal with them. Because sometimes they may need a scolding. And you'll find yourself, well, I don't want to tell them because that'll upset them and everything. No, maybe you need to scold them. Maybe not. That's in the moment. Be still and know. And finally, in Psalms 119:122, be a surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Okay. We need to be a surety for everybody in our congregation and every congregation in the whole network and beyond, people we don't even know. We have to come together with the intention that we will save others. You know, be implementing, you know, serve God by helping save others. And not oppress one another, which goes back to the thing, well, like I said, it seems to be the theme. Is that if we're only going to let people say what they want, or we want to hear them say, or we won't gather with them, we're not dependent upon the Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon our own judgment. Now, if maybe the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to join with a certain congregation, and you can imagine that is the case, but I'm not sure that that's always the case. I mean, The the person who's going to fool us more than anybody else is ourselves. And that, and so we have to constantly be questioning our own choices. And Gideon did it. He said, well, I'm going to throw the fleece out this way, and I'm going to do it this way. Because he wanted to make sure that he knew that he was right. And it wasn't that he was challenging God, but he knew that he was vulnerable to delusion, that he could be wrong. And so they were. He was willing to have the conversation with God. If this is really what you want, even Jesus is doing that in the Garden of Gethsemane. I don't really want to do this. But if this is what you want, then thy will be done. And so we're all challenged with that. Until we meet again, peace on your house, and may God be with you. Thank you all for coming. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.